Dr. Timothy Price. We thank God, we give God the praise for who he is, because we all believe he's worthy to be praised. I want to start by saying thank you, church, for all you have done supporting Pilgrim Branch.
Amen.
It's been a wonderful year, but God is not through with us. And I have to keep thanking God for the team he brings together. And there are some folks here who you do not yet see working, who will be working in 2025.
Amen.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
And we stop. I want to say to these ministers, thank God for each one of you.
Amen.
God's working through you. He has some plans for you.
Amen.
I used to think, I grew up in a conservative Baptist church. I only wanted to hear the preacher, the pastor preach. My early years, I didn't know any better, and found out that God can speak through anybody if they make themselves available.
Yes.
So I'm so grateful that these ministers will study and train, because we don't know what God has in store for them. And not the ministers only, look at the ushers here.
Yes.
How often do we ask the ushers to come to the front and tell us who they are? But they're always in service. The deacons,
yes, sir,
can't tell you about the work that they do that we don't even see done. And the saints that we might not even know somebody's name yet, because they just joined last week. But God is good.
Yes.
So said all that to say thank you.
Amen.
Now I know you have your Bible out. I want you to go with me. Turn, if you will, to the book of Proverbs. Hope you have a Bible that is your Bible. Churches can provide Bibles, nothing wrong with that, but we ought to have a Bible on our phone, on our iPad, somewhere we ought to have our own Bible. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
If we know where the book of Proverbs is, that's good. If not, use the table of contents and turn to it. Then I want you to go to chapter 8 and verse 6. So that's Proverbs 8 and 6. Got a few verses to read here this morning, so let me do that. I'm reading this morning from King James. Whichever version you have is fine. Deacon Stewart, would you do something for me, please? Just a couple of napkins from the... Thank you. Okay, all right, thank you, that's fine. Okay, Proverbs 8 and 6, scripture reads like this. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my... Oh, thank you. Okay, thank you very much. See, somebody's prepared. I'm going to have to do better, because every time I get up, I have to blow my nose. Yeah, we would. I'll come equipped next week. So from verse 6 again, scripture reads like this. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be the what? Right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. We really could stop there. But it goes on to say in verse 9, they are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, this God speaking. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I will dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Then verse 13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I'm understanding, I have strength. And then verse 15 says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. From all these scriptures I'm going to speak this morning from this subject, be ready to face obstacles. Would you say it after me? Be ready,
to face obstacles.
Thank you for your standing. As scripture is being read, we all believe that it's proper to recognize that God is different from man and woman, and he deserves recognition. Amen? So again, thank you for that. As we look at this set of scriptures, be ready to face obstacles. I always say we as Christians have to remember that we as Christians can face and sometimes have to face obstacles. It's not always a smooth road. We won't always get the answer of yes, even when we pray. Will somebody say amen? So here's three things that we're going to share with you this morning from this set of scriptures. First, assume it means you. These scriptures that we read, assume that it means you who's going to have to face some obstacles. Secondly, you have to have a variety of responses. We'll see what that means, what God is saying to us there. We have to have a variety of responses. And thirdly, we have to know when to say uncle. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now somebody's saying, I never heard that expression before. Well, if you just grew up yesterday, that's okay. But it's been around for a long time. We have to know when to say uncle. The idea is that the Bible that God gives us is for our everyday use. It's to equip us to deal with whatever comes up in our life yesterday, tomorrow, next month. God equips us, amen? And as he equips us, we got to be ready to face some obstacles. The book of Proverbs is one of those books that we call wisdom scriptures. It will guide us if we read them.
That's right.
If we study them, this group of ministers, as we were talking this morning, the reality is everybody wants to study the Bible. We'll read Plato, Aristotle, we know all of Shakespeare wrote, but some people will not pick up the Bible and study it. We can't prosper and do well if we won't study the Bible. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
Now let me give you a clue. If you will work with me and say amen when you're in agreement, this sermon might be shorter.
Amen.
Help me somebody.
Amen.
Because if somebody's not saying amen, my thought is I wasn't clear.
Right.
Which means I'm going to be longer.
Right.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
God is so good. And as we were talking this morning, from time to time, you find that God gives us all a sense of humor.
Yes, sir.
And it's even okay to use it in the church in its place.
Yes.
But the truth is, the word of God is, it's valuable. It's not a plaything.
Yes,
and God wants us to grow and mature as we hear it. So assume it means you. When we read these scriptures and God is talking about how he provides wisdom and knowledge and how to be prudent and have a fear of the Lord, he's talking to us. Each one of us. Is that right?
Yes.
He's talking to us. We got to assume it means us. When we face an obstacle in life, the question for us would be, how do we handle it? How do we handle an obstacle? Because many people are led to believe in the world that you shouldn't have any obstacles in your life, especially church people. If you have an obstacle, you're doing something wrong. You're not a tithing. This is what some groups will say. You're not tithing, so you're going to have some obstacle. You're not praying enough, and so you're going to have some challenges in your life. And they'll tell you that if you get that right, if you're a tither and if you pray regularly, if you attend church regular, that you're not going to have to deal with any downs. Everything going to be up. Well, surprise, surprise. That's not what the Bible teaches. And somebody said, well, preacher, why is it important to talk about what the Bible teaches? Because it sounds good when somebody say you go to church on a regular basis. You're a tither, you sing in the choir, you're an usher, you're a deacon. Everything will be rosy in your life. Now, then what happens when the preacher go down? What happens when we find out that you can go broke even as a church member? We got to know that God is in control whether I got $1 million or 10 cents in my pocket. God is in control. Does anybody believe it? Some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life are people who don't have a whole lot, but they got Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't have Jesus if you have a lot, because I know better, and I think you know better, that you can be the next Bill Gates or whoever it is in the world, and God provides you with so much you won't have room enough to put it anywhere. Yes, sir. Does anybody believe that?
Amen.
That God can open some doors?
Yes, sir.
That God can open some windows?
Yes, sir.
And pour the blessings out on you?
Amen.
And that's a great thing. We just have to know how to use it. How to use it. I remember I talk about this story all the time. When my son-in-law played for the Atlanta Falcons, played about 4 years, and some of his teammates, one was Andre Rison, one was Bert Emanuel, who we know personally, and one was a lineman who, and I won't even give his name, but he was making $60,000 a week, and at that time, that was a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. Don't give me, help me. But he's making $60,000 a week. By the end of the season, they say he was broke. And so we were asking ourselves, what happened? Say he didn't know how to stop spending. God is able to open doors, but he wants us to have some wisdom. When we face some obstacles, we got to turn to God and allow him to guide us. Amen? And God is so good. He said, assume it means you. So when we're facing obstacles, these scriptures are telling us we got to have more than one response in our arsenal. You know, people, have you ever known people who feel like they treat everything the same way? They never want to change. They want to go back to the way things always used to be done. Well, the history is behind us. We can't live in the past. We want to live in the future. We want to live right now. But we still got to live with God leading us. God is able. He said you ought to have a variety of responses. What does he mean? It means that when I face a challenge, I can't depend on what I used to do with the situation. Things change. I got to evaluate where I am, what I need, and then trust God to allow me to do what I need to do. Is that right? See, God is still a way maker. Is that right? Oh, I tell you, that's one of the loveliest songs I've ever heard. But it's just, and there's so many good ones out there. Don't get me to pick out one. But what God is saying to us, we need to have more than one response. So if yesterday you had been facing some challenges in your life, how do you determine how to deal with that obstacle? I heard earlier, it ought to start with prayer. Is that right? Before we take a step, it ought to start with prayer. We call on God. And how many of us believe that when we call God, he does hear us? God hears our prayer. As long as we remember and understand, just because God hears our prayer does not mean he will always say yes. Yes, Pickens, I'm going to give you a yes answer. Sometime it'd be yes, but do you know sometimes the answer might be no?
Yeah.
It's not for you right now.
Right.
The answer could be later.
Yeah.
The answer could just be absolute no.
Yeah.
You know the story. There are examples in the Bible where God's people, his workers, asked for something, and God said, no, not going to take the thorn in your side out. That thorn's got a purpose, what God was saying. Now, none of us want to deal with calamity. Nobody here is happy when obstacles pop up and you didn't expect them. But we got to know that God is able to take care of us.
Yeah.
I see Mom over there. I was watching the football game the other day. And the first thing that concerned me when Matthew was going to the locker room. Some of y'all don't follow football, so it's not a big thing. But I'm thinking to myself, oh, I don't know why, but I do know why. He drives the team.
Yeah.
And he's going to the locker room. And the reality is, even when in the locker room, I thought they were going to pull it out. But that's just a whole different thing. But that was an obstacle. And the question was going to be, how are they going to handle the obstacles? Well, without your best receiver, you got a challenge. Can you still win? Sure, it's possible. But if you don't win, now what? Do you still believe that God is real? Do you still believe that God is able? Do you still believe that God's going to open some doors that nobody can close? Yes, absolutely. And so once we get that together, we realize our responses can be different. Variety of responses. So I'm still cheering, still hoping they get it together. But it didn't turn out that way. But man, what a wonderful season the team had and that Matthew had. And I know his mom's got to feel good about the future, about what God is able to do. So come back to this set of scriptures. We talk about be ready to face obstacles, have a variety of responses, and then we got to know when to say uncle. What are you saying, preacher? If God said no to me in response to a prayer, when do I take a different approach and believe that God is able to do what he said he would do? I got to trust him. So if God points me in a different direction, can I accept that that different direction is truly the way God wants me to go? Over my lifetime, I've had some different jobs. And some, I believe in some cases, it couldn't be a better position. I remember working for a sales company called Armor Can Meat and Dial Soap, headquartered in Chicago. And they hired me out of Texas Southern. And I remember that I was driving one day, they provided a car, and I was coming down the freeway over near where Astrodome is. And it was raining, I would say cats and dogs, it was raining hard. And my car, it was a station wagon, brand new station wagon, and it started to slide. And it flipped around, and I'm going down the freeway 50 miles an hour backwards. Do you believe I prayed? I prayed, but my choices were, what else can you do? You don't want to hit the brakes. You could have some real challenges. So I just let it slide, hoping it'll slow down. And sure enough, it slowed down on one of the light posts, hit the light post. And I thought they were going to really fuss at me. They just got me a new car. Say, go back to work. I thank God for that. Because they could have questioned my judgment. I wasn't speeding. But the idea was, and I remember it wasn't a year later, I decided to go back to college, earn another degree. I don't know exactly why. It was a good company. They paid well, taking care of everything I needed. But sometimes God will direct you to a different place. You might find an obstacle, but you got to have some different responses. And I thought that was the right move at the time. We got to be careful not to question God.
Amen.
Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
We got to be people that once we take it to God, we'll leave it with him. And then look for his response, what he wants us to do. Is that right?
Yes.
Now I come by with the news flash today. The preacher is not God. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
We can get instruction, direction, guidance from the preacher, but in the end, it's going to be our personal relationship when we go to God. God, will you guide me? And as God gives guidance, we've got to not question it, not worry about it. And the way God opened doors for me after that, I can't tell you how happy I was. Because my wife was going to really fuss at me that I had given up a good job with good benefits to go back to school. But what happened, while I had gone back to school, my father was a longshoreman and a foreman down at the ship channel. He made it possible for me to get a job. That was a time where you couldn't work at the ship channel if you didn't know somebody. So I showed up one morning at 7 o'clock to go in the hiring circle, as they call it, and went around. The foreman come around, and they pick people they want to go on their gang, 12 members, 14 members. And the guy picked me. And I knew why he picked me, because he didn't know me. I was working on a Social Security card. But what I found out is if they like you, they'll give you a chance. But if you show up and you lazy and you won't work and you causing dissension, they won't hire you again. Yes, sir. All right. And nobody, even your father who's a foreman, can get you a job. But I worked for 3 years down there. All right. I thank God. Amen. And I was able to make more money than most people in these companies that I just left. Yeah. Because that was just the way it was set up. My point is, let God guide. Now, does anybody believe like I believe? God doesn't make mistakes. Is that right? God doesn't make mistakes. So once we accept that and we're ready to be guided by that principle, everything will be all right. And here we are many, many years. I thank God for allowing me to serve the way he does. Because he didn't owe me anything. But he spared my life that day and allowed some doors to open. And so I look at the scripture and I say, what else is God telling us here? Know when to say uncle. Church, we got to stop complaining about everything that doesn't go our way. Now, maybe nobody's guilty of that here. But have you ever asked God for something and it didn't come to pass and then said, God, did you forget me? God, you remember I asked you for X, Y, Z? Let God move. We are his servants. We are his children. And as he makes a way for us to handle obstacles, we ought to be happy. We say all the time, I even hear Deacon Jermaine say it all the time, and God's got something in store for some people here. But I hear us say sometimes, God is a way maker. What does that mean to us? When he's a way maker? Does it mean when it looks like a door is closed that he can open it? Does it mean when it looks like I don't have enough resources that he can pull out resources from the windows of heaven? Does it mean that when I think I'm handicapped because something has come in my life, that he's really saying, let that thorn alone. I got a purpose for you being in the condition you in. Is God talking to us? I believe he's talking to us every day. But we have to hear and we have to respond. The saying uncle just means, when do we stop? When do we stop complaining and just say, thank you, Lord, for where I find myself today, for the situation I'm in right now. Thank you, Lord, that you can do what man and woman cannot do. You know, man and woman can be finicky. In this sense, if somebody wants to talk about you, do you know they'll talk about you even if you're in church? Will somebody say amen? Amen. Now, maybe you've never had anybody against you, standing against you, talking about you, putting you down, but that's another thing that God can handle with ease. Amen. Is that right? Yes. God is a good God. Yes. And all we're saying from this book of Proverbs, from these set of scriptures in Proverbs, we got to be ready to face obstacles. Don't let anybody tell you that obstacles in your life are a bad thing. Maybe just that opportunity for God to stand up boldly in you. Because the Holy Spirit gives us the power to deal with obstacles. Anybody here, you found yourself dealing with sickness over the years? Anybody? Reality? You had some sickness? Do you know that God can handle it? Anybody ever had, and don't raise your hand for this, maybe you ever had some financial challenges? Or raise your hand anyway. All right. Amen. And that's important. It's important for us, church, to be truthful with ourselves. See, it's easy to fool yourself. My son told me once, and this was, he's in the back. He told me once, just about a year ago, he said, "Dad, I thought one time we were rich." Yeah, I did that too. But I told him, I said, "Son, at one time we were rich. You know, God is good. I have brought home a $300,000 check in the past. I can't tell you how good God can be." And I say that because sometimes we're complaining and we ought to just stop. And I said, "Yeah, that swimming pool, 1,000-foot game room, had a ping pong table next to a pool table, and felt like I was running things." And then one day, the mission changed. Now listen to me. When God gives you a different mission, you better listen. You may think he's taking something away, but he's not. He's adding. He's not taking away. Do you realize that you can do just as good with 30,000 as you can with 300? Somebody said, "Well, that's not possible." I've seen somebody stretch money. I've talked about this before. I remember having beans and rice. Rice and beans. Ground meat and rice and beans. And felt good. Felt like nobody had a better life at that time than we did. I tell people about the obstacles that they could see that we couldn't see. Yeah, I thought we were wealthy. We were pretty close to it because the longshoremen did so well. But the point is, for all of us, our situations are different. Whoever you're sitting next to, their situation is not exactly like yours. Yeah. Oh, somebody will say amen. Amen. Sister Bolden. Amen. For those who may not know, Sister Bolden is a Marine, I would call a Marine seaman, but she travels, she works for a shipping company and travels around the world, Indonesia and China and who knows where else. But she said this morning, 8 o'clock service, we were talking to her, said she'd be here today, and God provided. Amen. Amen. And it's been months. She'll go out on the sea and be out there for 2, 3, 4 months sometime at a time. But again, somebody would see that as an obstacle. God would see it as an opportunity to show that he can care for us no matter where we are. If we just give him praise, if we give him praise. Deacon Stewart, do you say all the time it's important to give God the praise?
Yeah.
Now, what is this praise thing that we talk about? Well, we may not be in the exact situation that the children of Israel are here, but we've got the same opportunities to lift God up wherever we find ourselves, because he's worthy to be praised.
Amen.
Here I am on a Sunday morning, able to be inside, able to have no rain falling on my head, even if it's raining outside. Do I have anything to praise God for? Huh? I've got something to buy food with from week to week. May not be as much as what Joe's got or what Mary's got, but I believe I ought to give God some praise for putting something in my pocket. May not have the job I thought I would have 30 years ago because I decided to take a different direction. But I ought to give God some praise that I got a chance to serve him. I don't believe there's any better occupation. Don't believe there's any greater work than to lift up a holy God. He is worthy. to be praised. And it's not just about being a preacher or a deacon or a missionary or an usher or a saint who's serving God. If I just know that God is real, if I just know that God is alive today, if I just know that God is a way maker, a problem solver, a burden bearer, a rose of Sharon, then I ought to give God some praise today. Do I have anybody who's in agreement? We ought to give God some praise. Maybe I'm not the one that's got a $20 million contract, but I know somebody who can do what nobody else can do. I ought to praise his holy name. Ought to sing some Zion songs for God. Be on his side. Be on his team. Let me tell you what we're looking for today. I'm looking for somebody who is ready to have your mission made clear to God. Somebody here is ready to do what God wants you to do. Don't put it off another day, hour, week, month. There's somebody here who will let God lead and guide you. Yes, you're ready to serve. Yeah. I want you to stand up and come forward. Somebody here ready to give God some greatest service. Will you stand up? Will you look past the obstacles? Will you let God give you direction? Is there one in the congregation? One in the congregation. God is talking to you. Speaking to you, giving you signs and wonders that you don't want to overlook. Are you here?
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Porville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but he is the vine."